Good morning to you, everybody. Howdy, howdy, howdy. So I'm going to insist on getting to the part of we're going to talk about baptism and what that entails. And, you know, I guess it could even be followed up in, does it really matter whether or not we get baptized or not? And so I want to discuss that because I believe scripturally when we find out and we discuss this and get into it, delve into it and open that up, we're going to discover that it does matter. And there's even a greater purpose than even what I think I hear a lot of us Christians speak, and we speak of baptism, is that it's just symbolic of that which is going on inside of us, which is Jesus making us a new person, the old man dying, the new one coming up. That's absolutely true, and that's a big part of it, and that's what it is. But there's even more to it than that, and I want to get into that, but I feel like there's an overwhelming urge in me, that would be the Holy Spirit, that's wanting to do this and go even before we segue into the baptism, is talk about God's love. We sang about that this morning, God's love. And the question that that the Lord kept asking me is, you know, we sang that verse in the song, it says, His love has captured me. And then maybe the question that he asked me is, has my love captured you? And so I was going to ask myself that, and what's that look like? Well, how do I know that his love has captured me? I'm captured by his love. Do I understand what God's love is? Do I even have the slightest idea to even know the extent of God's love? And he's like, wow. So there's some things I want to talk about, and I want to discuss this because I think as we understand God's love, we understand it, and then we receive it, we believe it, we act on it, we live in God's love in a way that actually has the power to more than just alter my life, you know, change direction of my life, but actually transform my life into the image of God because I know what God's love is. When I know what God's love is, listen to this, friends, and I want us to hear this. When I know what God's love is, I run to it. I can't get away from it to where I long to get more of it. When I have a misunderstanding or a misconstrued view of what God's love is, then I hide from it. No, I'm serious. Do you guys ever? So think about that in my life and in your life and our friends' lives, our family members' lives, and people in our lives that you see them reacting to what is the love of God, and they go like this, or they turn their back, or actually even turn their whole back and walk away from it. Do you ever see that? Do you ever notice that? And yeah, amen. So can we talk about that for a few minutes, and then we'll talk about baptism? You guys with me? I've got a couple of scriptures even too, because this happened to me this week. In fact, in that verse of that song was, everywhere I look, I see your face. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that could be evidence that God's love has captured me, is that wherever I go, wherever I look, every turn I make, there I see God in the midst of it. Amen. If you dare to allow God's love to capture you, you will find the most awkward places seeing God's face, seeing God's love. And that's okay. Don't get freaked out about it, okay? I'm telling you, but it happens. And I'm going to get personal because there was places that I was seeing God that were really, really strange. Really strange. I mean, the bathroom at AM PM. You say, how did that happen? Here's how I share it happened, okay? Without, you know, don't get weird on me, and I won't get weird on you. But it started back, it's like, okay, I'm in the bathroom at AM PM, and it's like the Lord just like, boom, captured me in his love and showed me a place that his love exists, that as I understand this, I'm like, wow, okay, am I willing to allow and to believe and to receive that that's a part of God's love, that this is a part of how God loves. And this is, and it happened this way. And the reason it happened this way, because I was in the bathroom at AMPM and I was going to dry my hands after washing them. And I realized that that's, he says, do you see that this isn't how my love looks? And let me explain. He said, because a few days earlier, I was in the bathroom at Taco Bell. You gotta stick with me here for a second. Stick with me. And in the bathroom at Taco Bell, the one in Lincoln here, it's an amazing bathroom. I love this bathroom more than any other bathroom I've ever been in. Simply for this one reason. And listen to this. Is because it has a place where after I wash my hands, I could dry my hands with either a hand blower or a towel. It gives me a choice. I just love that bathroom. I like want to stop there just to use the bathroom because it gives me a choice to whether I could use a towel or a blow dryer to dry my hands after I wash them. And God showed me this. Listen to this. If I agree that God's love captures me everywhere I look, I see his face. Why do we sing that and then you guys laugh at me because I'm seeing God's face in everywhere I look? And so it was this that God was showing me, that my love started way back in the garden, way back even before creation, way back even before anything ever existed. My love was there because I am love. And for me, perfect love and love, this is God speaking to me, is one that doesn't enforce my will, my way on anybody, but gives every single individual a choice. So much so, and I'll speak it very clearly and truly as much as possible, that even on a day like today of 9/11, which we know that term now of what that actually means. It's not just a date, but it's become an infamous date in history. That if we're willing to know that and understand that as true, that God's love is that which gives a choice, puts a tree, God put the tree of life in the garden, and who put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden? God did that. God did that because God loves us so much that he has to give us the choice to choose him. Hello? And in that choice, we've got to understand, if that's true from there, from eternity past to eternity future, that God's love is even for those people. Listen to this. Even for those people who chose to hijack those airplanes and fly them into towers to kill innocent people. God's love gave them that choice to make that choice. There's more mass killings in the world from that, you could go from that date on to now, than ever existed before. Into the hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And we stop and we say, well, where's God's love in that? God's love still is in that because he gives every single individual a choice to whether choose him or choose something else other than him. Are you guys following me? If you can't receive that, then you got to throw this whole thing out the window. Hello? That's the truth. The truth of God's love is, yeah. How did I get that from a Taco Bell bathroom? But I got it there. That's really strange, isn't it? You should hear the stuff that God speaks to me while I'm in the shower. Yeah, man. Let me share a verse, and I do have some scripture. Jude 20 and 21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, there's an order there. There is something that Jude is referring to, that we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. So that means understanding, receiving, looking into what God's love is, to the depths of God's love beyond what I think God's love ought to be. Hello? are you guys with me? Are you guys following with me? I really track with me on this, because I believe as we get through this, God, you'll see, you'll be able to, everywhere you go, see God's face. And that's the freedom of being a disciple of Christ and being somebody that is in Christ and Christ in me, is being able to see God in everything and everywhere. Even the stuff that looks heinous and ought to be, and stuff that people, when we look at it and we hear it on the news, what was it the other day? Matt, I happened to turn on the news in my bedroom, and I was watching it, and Matt walked in the bedroom. He's like, he's in there for like 30 seconds, and it was like, bam, 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 bam. News report after news report after news report of deaths and shootings and killings and robberies. And it was like, he's like, I'm out of here. I'm going to bed. This place is miserable, isn't it? And I was like, I'm turning the channel to myself. That's happening everywhere. And we can still say that God's love has not left us and abandoned us. Because in that I'm seeing that that's God's love is giving each and every individual a choice to make with their life. Hello? Amen. That's why it's so vital to understand that as I preach and as I share with you and you guys hear and we walk this thing called Christianity out, I'm wanting to see and taste the love of God and get a taste of his goodness so much, because every time I taste the goodness of God, I just want more. I want more, and I can't get enough, and I want more, and then I can't get enough because it tastes so good. He tastes so good. I want more. Doesn't mean that everything's going really good for me. Does God's love simply mean that I'm getting all the things that I want in life? Well, it doesn't. It doesn't at all, actually. You guys know that. And that's why when we speak of this, we speak of how God's love, nothing can separate us from it, because God is love. Read 1 John chapter 4 and all the way into chapter 5. Read those chapters and discover, and he says it in there multiple times, God is love. That's where we get that verse, is from that. God is love. And he's shown this to us by showing us who Jesus is, giving us Jesus, and now our call is to love one another. Let me read to you what Charles Spurgeon says this. This is awesome. He says this: when the love of God is poured into you, into your heart, the idols will soon depart, and the love of sin will take its flight. Holiness is about new affection, not mere avoidance. We are to keep ourselves in God's love in order that we might expel the idols of our hearts with the light of his affection. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what do we mean by when we say God's love? The love of God. God is love. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hey, it's called the love chapter. At one point or sometime, I'd like to go through these character dispositions of God's love in us and for us that are about God, but yet at the same time for us to receive and put into effect in our lives as we walk out, as God is in us and we are in God. So we're discovering that this is the love that God is actually saying is, I am working in you, but I am working it through you also. So listen to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4, love. And you could even refer to that as God. I've heard preachers say that you could say love is patient, God is patient. Love is kind, God is kind. Love is not jealous, God is not jealous. Love is not boastful or proud. God is not rude. It does not, this is it, it does not demand its own way. I looked that up in a lot of different translations, and the Message said it like this: love does not push itself or impose its will on others. That's kind of what he's saying there. Love does not demand its own way or impose my will on others. So that's what God looks like. If God were one to impose his will on us, then what would we be? There would be no choice in the matters. Slaves, robots, another word we refer to that. But it wouldn't be love. There would be, then God would have to completely change who he is if God were to impose his will and his way on your life and in your life. It wouldn't be God. It wouldn't be love. And because God cannot change And God cannot be different than who God is. He has to love because God is love. So God does not impose his will. He does not force us to be a certain way. He gives us the choice. He gives us the choice. And amen, and amen, that that choice he gives us, he also empowers us to live it out. Let me share a verse with you that's absolutely just amazing. This is great. And it's not super revealing, but I want us to hear it in a way that, in light of what we're speaking today. Jesus said this, John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Real quick, what do you think that the emphasis is on it? In that whole statement, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. I'm going to ask you, this is a trick question, and it's a test. A trick question to what we're talking about today. What is the key word in that whole verse? If you love me, keep my commandments. I knew everybody was going to say love. If. It's simply if. If. Why is it if? Because it's if is that when we understand and when we choose to love God, he says, in that choice is going to be the compelling force that gives you the power to keep my commandments. Where does the power come from? Oh, wow, look at this. Verse 16, he gives us the answer. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you for just a little while. Oh, I mean forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. I will stick with you to the very end. I will give you the helper to empower you to keep my commandments, to do what I call you to do, to be obedient. And then all the things like, somebody over here said obedience. I don't know. There was a word over here. Okay, never mind. You guys are Facebooking or something. That's all right. God is into us. God is into us. In such a dynamic way that he is saying, I will, all you, if the word is if you love me, if you choose to love me, I will empower you and I will give you the grace. That's what that word grace means. I will empower you to do what I call you to do. Hallelujah. That's what he says right there. We're not left alone to figure it out and do it all on our own. In fact, that would be religion and works and all the things that just doesn't work. We fall short of, we get frustrated in, we keep trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and you guys want me to keep going? And it doesn't stop if we keep doing it on our own. But as we just simply choose to say, I love you, God. And here's the really neat part. I want to tell you this. You only have to choose to do that to the extent that you know to do it at. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? Is that when I first gave my life to Jesus, all I knew to do, all I knew was, listen. All I knew was that I never had a dad that loved me. That's all I knew. And this man stood up and spoke about a loving father that loved me. Right where I was at. That's all I knew to say yes to. And it was enough. That's all it took. It was enough. Because that was, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about God's love and who God was. And you know what the funny part was? As soon as that happened and I said yes to God and his love for me, you know what the first thing I asked a fellow Christian, well, a guy that I knew was a Christian, now he was a fellow Christian because I didn't know him as a, but I knew, and his name was Blaine, he's a friend of mine still to this day, I'm sitting there crying and hugging on him, I'm like, oh, I'm so, blah, blah, blah. We're a mess, and the God, the Holy Spirit's just like messing us up big time, really, really good mess, I mean, it was a beautiful mess, and it was a good mess, and I remember asking him, like, oh, man. And you know what I asked him? And this is what I'm going to talk about. We're going to segue into it. Where do I go to get baptized? And he just laughed. That's what he did. He laughed. He said, don't worry about it right now. Don't worry about it right now. We'll figure that out when the time comes. And I knew that I had to be baptized. I knew that I had to surrender my life and give my life. And I remember talking to Jesus that night. And then the conversations got more in depth. But one of the first one, the very first one that I had that night with Jesus was this one. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I believe it's allows us to, and it frees us to surrender to God where God has us. We don't have to have this massive in-depth understanding about God for us to surrender to Him. We can surrender to God at the point of God revealing Himself to you. And it's enough. Amen. And there'll be another surrender probably later in the evening or maybe tonight or maybe tomorrow. And that will be enough. Hello? I mean, it's got to be that way. It's got to be grace is sufficient for today, for this day, and His power is made perfect in my weakness. Where I surrender, He completely fills with His Spirit to empower me to be what He wants me to be. Amen. Amen. But the conversation I had that evening was this one, was like, I don't care whatever it takes to follow You. I will give up, even if it costs me my friends and my popularity at school. And this was me coming into a senior year of high school, being a jock and being very popular and being one that was looked at as one of the cool kids in school, even though I knew myself and I wasn't. It was a big show. I don't know. The cool kids really are just putting on the best show. Hello? Kids? The cool kids are just putting on the best show. Pretty much. They're just as insecure, if not more, than anybody out there. And I was one of them. Because I didn't know God. But when God showed me His love, it was as though everything opened up. His love does not cease to amaze me, blow my mind, reveal it in such a ways that, like I said, in bathrooms and showers, conversations with strangers, here at church, wherever I'm at, I'm able to see God's love because I believe that God's love has captured me. Allow God's love to capture you, to take you. The place that He can capture us in His love is the place that we say, okay, I give it to You. And I know that message seems to be going over and over and over as I speak, but it seems to be the one that God wants us to hear over and over again. Amen? Let me share a couple more things, and I'm going to talk about baptism. Talking about God's sovereignty, really, and His authority that are at work for us and not against us. God's sovereignty and His authority wrapped up in who He is, which is love, God is love, are for us and not against us. If we perceived God's sovereignty and His authority and His love against us, we would run away and hide from it. Crawl in a corner and run away and hide from it. Never step foot. And maybe some of us can testify about moments in our day, in our life, that we hid from God's love because we were misperceiving it as what God's love was about. Whenever we interpret God's love as things have got to go well and right for me, that's a trap. It's a trap for you that the enemy has laid, and he's laid out as a bear trap for you to just really, boom, as soon as you step in it, you're trapped. Don't buy into the narcissistic, westernized American way of how can God let that happen to innocent people? That very question is a trap. You guys hear me? Because what are we doing? We're interpreting something bad like, the plane's crashing into the Twin Towers, and we're saying, how can God let that happen to innocent people, even children? We just now stepped into this other zone. You can call it a twilight zone if you want to, but it's an other zone to where it's now God's love is wrapped up in, what is God doing for me? How can God, what is it that God is doing good for me? And we've completely missed this truism that God does not impose His will on anybody. See, God's love was even for a Muslim even for a Muslim that so chooses to kill people because of their opposite faith. God's love didn't leave that person. Now, you might just, that might be a really tough one to swallow in this day. But the reason that's tough to swallow is because we're misperceiving what God's love is. God's love doesn't change. He's not a respecter of persons. God doesn't move here or there based on us. God's love is surrounding us, and it's everywhere, and it gives you the choice to say yes to Jesus, and it gives every single person a choice to say yes or no to Jesus and his grace and his mercy for your life. Do you guys understand that? I know that there's more in depth to that, but whenever I start comprehending God's love through what is it that is good that happens to me, or the good things that happen to me, I instantly set God up for the trap, because life doesn't allow always good stuff to happen to me. Why is that? Because there's people out there full of sin that are making bad choices. Hello? And I be one of them every now and then. Or maybe not you guys. And that bad choice has an impact on other people's lives. Hello? Hello? Why does that not work for me? Well, if God loves me, then he won't let anything bad happen to me, because God's, you know, surrounding me with his love and his care and his protection and his provision. And he won't let that bad person that's driving like an idiot and drunk on the road, he'll protect me from that. That's not how it works. What were you going to say?
So it's not just bad, that are people making bad decisions. There's also powers that are out there that are working.
Well, there's demonic powers that are driving people. Let me read what C.S. Lewis says this, and this is pretty awesome if we can digest this. Listen to this. It says, to please God, to be pleasing to God, and to be a real ingredient of divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely just pitied, but delighted in as an artist delights in his work or a father in a son, it seems impossible, and a weight or a burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain, but it is so. It is so. Here's the thing is what God is calling us to do. That's why Jude says it this way, and he said it that way in the fact that he said, do not be apostate like some, but stay, keep in the love of God. Keep walking in the love of God, understanding, delving into the love of God, looking for the love of God everywhere you go. And he will open up opportunities for you to be his love in other people's lives. Even people that you disagree with. I know this is a hard one to believe, but God does love Muslims. God does love Mormons. God even loves Democrats. I'm serious. I know it. I know it. Do you know how I know it? Because God's love doesn't any. Oh, yeah, guess what? He loves Republicans, too. You guys are a little bit like, on the edge of like a little tougher to love. I'm just kidding. I had to throw that in there. No, but seriously, why is that? It's because God is love. God is love. God is love. A truth that will always stand, and God's word spoke this to me in a vision that I have never been able to forget. God doesn't love me because I'm lovable. God loves me because he's loving. That's it. That's it. So that's true for everybody. God's love is bigger than you and me. You're very special, but you're not all that. You are very special. You're special enough for Jesus to give his life for. But you're not all that. And a bag of chips, I think is what they say, right? Seeing the Father's heart toward us as loving will feed the flame of our godly affection. And as we see and believe the love of God, we will delight in God and learn what it is to walk in the joy by faith even when our circumstances and our culture in this life are anything but joyful. Friends, I got to tell you this. The salt mine is called to be the salt of the earth. The salt mine, it's the church. The salt mine gathering of people, of believers, is called to be the salt of the earth. You and I are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And when Jesus, again, I say it again, because when Jesus spoke that word, he spoke that word, and Jesus speaks a word. A word that Jesus speaks is as good as true.
It is true.
That's because it is true. I meant to say that in a way that you would really, like, hello, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Is that he said it, he didn't give it as a suggestion, he proclaimed it as a truth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Therefore, go, be salty, and shine. Do not put a lamp over it, and do not become cynical, judgmental, because people aren't like you. Allow God's love, the light of his love, to flow through you to other people that aren't like you. Jesus even said it in a way, if you love people that love you, I mean, Bob and Diane here are just the easiest people on the planet to love. But they're not the people I'm called to love. They're not the people I'm called to be the salt and the light to. He doesn't say you are the salt of the church. You are the light of the church. He doesn't say that, right? He said you're the light of the world. That means people that aren't like you. You're the salt of the earth. That means people that aren't like you. You've got to be different than what everybody else is. Christians, we are called to be so different than what everybody else is. I love you guys. And I will never, in fact, he even tells us, we ought to love the family of God even more so than anybody. We ought to be there for them, absolutely. But we're called to be salt and light to those that aren't like us. Ooh, gosh, do you really want this thing called Christianity? I'm going to get into the teaching on baptism. It'll only take me a few minutes. I got like 5 points on baptism. That's really fantastic. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, and he's saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And this is, of course, after he was crucified and resurrected, and he was showing himself to his disciples. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So listen to this. Baptism is simply this. It's an ordinance of the Lord. It's a commandment of the Lord. We are to go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. We, as disciples, are commanded to do this. And not only that, but he said, I will empower you. I will be with you as you do it until the end of the age. So it's an ordinance that is into effect until the end of the age. Until Jesus returns, we are to go make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. First point, it's an ordinance from the Lord that we are commanded to do, and we are ordered to do it until he comes back. So we're doing it. Hello? Not only are we baptizing, we're making disciples and we're teaching. That's why we talk about God's word and God's word only. Amen? And in that, I would say the next point is baptism also is an invocation of the Trinitarian name. In other words, it's inviting the entire Godhead into my life, baptizing into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's a holy appeal to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to be present in every area of my life. As I go down the old man, the old person, come up the new, I'm invoking, I'm saying, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be in my life everywhere. Submersion, dead, gone, new, up. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in all of it. You can't just have one. All three are involved in it. There's another thing. This is a little side note to that, really quick. Can you baptize yourself? I don't think so. Why is that? He doesn't give us permission to go baptize ourselves. Because not only do you need a witness, but we need each other. You need somebody to help you come back up. There's so many elements to that that I think are interesting that we don't baptize ourselves. We are baptized into the body of Christ. So you are becoming now a member of the body of Christ. And we talked about that last week. how important that is to understand that we are members of one another, the body of Christ. So we're baptized into the Father, and into the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into the body of Christ. And so we need each other, and we're having an understanding that we can't do this on our own. I can't baptize myself, and I can't walk with God by myself. Don't be delusional in thinking that you can go off into the woods and have this awesome relationship with God all by yourself and not have to deal with people. It just... What's that? Oh, a hand. Hi.
Yeah, hey. Eric, one of the profound things of Scripture...
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's exactly right. And I do have 5 points, and I think I only got to 2, so I think that is in one of them. But that's awesome, because that's exactly what she's sharing is that there's... Yeah, go ahead.
Every move we make, every breath we take, we move and breathe in you.
Amen. Yes, Jesus. Amen. And our walk with God is dependent on others. It's dependent on others. Yes, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are that which is empowers us to walk with God, that which gives us the strength and the joy and the hope within us. But we need brothers and sisters to walk with each other. Amen? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord.
You've got to have each other, and you've got to always all be encouraging each other. That Holy Spirit in you has the ability to speak for brothers and sisters.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I mean, what Linda just said was just fantastic, that as we walk by faith, trusting God, that walk is going to include trusting others and God speaking through others into my life. Oh, that sometimes is one that will hinder a lot of us from walking farther forward in the Lord, is the fear of people hurting us, taking advantage of us, misleading us. Oh, may the Holy Spirit just really move that in us. So let me get on to the third point, and because I really do have 5, and I think we got to get the last one. To me is the best. I'm saving the best for last. Baptism is an expression of faith of the one being baptized. So it's actually an act of faith. It's an expression of faith being baptized. It's something that an unbeliever cannot do because there's no faith involved in it. And we don't baptize infants because there's no choice of that infant to say of saying yes to Jesus. So that's why we as Christians in the Christian church, we don't baptize infants and we don't baptize unsaved people, because that would be almost really, I mean, I'm not going to, but it's really almost an abomination of what baptism is. It's that which is that person choosing in their heart and in their mind to say yes by faith to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's required for us to have that choice, make that choice, and therefore be baptized. Colossians chapter 2, I'm gonna read that, verse 11 and 12. He says, "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So that faith part is your choice, my choosing to trust God for my salvation, the salvation of my soul, and now I'm making that expression of faith by being baptized, by allowing my brother or sister to baptize me in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, that I've made a proclamation and a choice to say yes and surrender my life to Jesus from this day on. Hello?
Amen.
Amen. It's not that complicated. That's a very simple one, actually. And baptism is also an immersion in water. It's a complete dunking, that the word actually means to immerse, to dunk yourself, to immerse yourself. I'm going to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That's why it's symbolic to go all the way under and all the way up, because it's a symbolic of that old man being completely buried and the new man coming completely up. You guys understand that? That's why it's not a sprinkling, because I don't want to just get a sprinkle of Jesus. I want to get all of Jesus. I want to submerge my whole life into all of who Jesus is. Amen? Yes.
Baptism as a rededication.
Well, I wanted to discuss that because let me get through this fifth point, and I will talk about that because I do believe that there is an element of that it can be true. Because here's the thing, as in what George had asked was, can we use baptism as a rededication? Well, there's no scriptural reference for or against that. I haven't found any yet that is for or against that. I mean, I've heard people say, well, you don't need to be rebaptized because being baptized once is enough. I do believe, I personally do believe, if there is a place in your commitment, it's not about understanding what baptism is, that now, if I have a deeper understanding of baptism now than I did when I was baptized, I don't need to go get rebaptized. I can understand it better, and I can receive that as truth for my life and walk in that in clarity and understanding, absolutely. But it doesn't mean I have to go get rebaptized every time I have a deeper understanding of what baptism is. If there is a place of complete commitment in your life that's completely different and you feel led by the Spirit to be rebaptized because, you know, I'm not going to say because the first one didn't take. I don't think that that's the case. But there's a place where I've completely surrendered my life at another level. I don't believe that there is a place in Scripture that says you can't do that. That's an offense to God. I don't think that there's a place, is there? Is there any place? Anybody? I haven't found one, but somebody else might be able to read into something. But at the same time, I'm not going to baptize everybody all over again every time we have a baptism. I don't think you need to.
One Lord, one baptism.
One Lord, one baptism.
One faith, one baptism.
Yeah, okay.
It seems to narrow it down.
To one time?
Jewish tradition, however, baptism is synonymous with repentance.
Well, then let's all go get baptized all over again and get it. That's okay. To me, it's okay. I don't mind it. I will baptize everybody all over again if you want to. That's okay. We can do that. Stephen, I need some help.
Yeah, mentioning the baptism.
Yes.
They miss God every time that the purification.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
Well, in light of baptism into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's not exactly the same, and it's not referring to the same thing, because to me, when I look at what baptism is, it's that declaration of what God is doing in my heart, what God has done in me, and it's agreeing with that. It's kind of like when we, you know, I've said it last week about praying for God to show up when he's already up, you know. Sometimes that is okay to do, because then I'm in agreement in my heart and my mind to say yes to what God has already done and doing in me. Baptism is that same type of a thing, that it's a symbolic of that which Jesus has done in me and through me and doing in me. So yes, there is one baptism for us to baptize. We're baptized into one faith, one baptism, led by one Spirit, and that we're connected to one body. that is in depth also, because if I'm like, if I separate myself from a different body of believers as though they're different than us and I'm a different body, and that's not okay either. But I got to say that there's places that as we commit to the Lord, being baptized again isn't an offense to God. Here's what I will say, though. You know, we don't say it too much in the weddings they do now, but, you know, this thing called a wedding ring. A wedding ring. Let's just use this as an example. Because I put this ring on doesn't mean that I'm married to Robin. Do you guys understand that? This ring is symbolic of my vows and my commitment to my wife, Robin. You guys understand that? Hello? Now, this ring, it's a symbol of the commitment and the vows that we made. Do you know what it also is a symbol of? And this is, the Lord gave me this, and this is super deep. It's also a symbol of us consummating our vows, becoming intimate with one another, sealing the deal, if you will. Baptism, listen to this. Baptism is deep. It's more than just symbolic. It's sealing the deal. Sealing the deal. Are you willing to receive that one? That one's deep. As you go down and your whole body goes underneath, and it's like sealing the deal and coming up that new person, do we really think that it's just this symbol? It is a symbol. It is a statement. It is evidence that God, I said yes to Jesus. But what if it's a truth of reality that I am now sealing the deal with my faith with God? Can you buy into it that it actually does matter that I get baptized? Now, again, I said it last week, the only person that really is excused from it is if you're laying in a hospital bed and you absolutely can't get out of it and you're about to breathe your last breath and you're going to die. I don't think it's a good idea to pull you out of the hospital bed and go dunk you under the water and then put you back in the hospital. I don't think that's just like it wasn't a good idea. I don't think Jesus had to pull his disciples and say, okay, hey, this guy on the cross here, you got to go baptize him really quick or else he's not going to get in. That's silly. But for you and I to adhere to what God says, and he says, all authority has been given unto me. Now go and make disciples. And if you love me, you will do what I command. If you love me, you will do what I say to do. Go and be baptized. Baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I strongly believe, and we're not Baptists here. In other words, you know, we're not of the Baptist denomination. But I really do believe that it does matter. I believe it does matter. I've seen people in their lives and their commitment to the Lord so choose to say, I don't think I need to do it, and I don't want to do it, and I don't think it needs to be a part of my life for me to have a right relationship with God. And their life, because they make that proclamation and that statement, I've seen their life even go to the point of death like that. And I'm thinking, wow. That statement, that proclamation, if they would have just so chosen to say yes to what God said to do, would their life have gone different? Would their walk with God have gone different? Yes.
It wasn't a suggestion.
No.
It's not a requirement for salvation, but he said, be baptized.
Amen. Where are we going to stop? Where do we draw the line? I believe it. There's nobody that told me anything about being baptized, and something in my spirit, I think he was called the Holy Spirit, said, you've got to be baptized. I was a kid. Do you know what I did to the church bus as it came around our town? And then all of a sudden I give my life to Jesus, and something in me, in my heart, in my spirit, in my mind says, you got to be baptized? Where'd that come from? I'm going to read this last statement because it's really fantastic that the Lord says, in baptism, in that choice, remember I started it off with God's love is wrapped up in giving us the freedom to choose. in the choice of saying yes to Jesus by faith and choosing to be baptized, we are uniting ourselves to Christ Jesus in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. Baptism portrays what happens spiritually in us and through us when we receive Christ. Your old self of unbelief and doubt and rebellion and idolatry died. The new you of faith, submission, and affection for Jesus Christ is coming alive. And that's constant, right? Amen. I know that when I got baptized, and you know, the neat thing is Robin and I were able to be baptized together for the first time she was baptized. I don't know, you know, that it was exciting for us to... I forgot about that. I think it's so clear that the Lord wants us to, and he's called us to, and it's an ordinance, and there's power in it. The day that we were driving to be baptized, we were driving down Sierra College Boulevard, the big hill that, like, whoo, and I used to do this really crazy thing. I don't know why I did it then, and I learned my lesson that I would put my car, and it was her car, actually, I put it in neutral and coast down that big hill. Has any of you guys ever done that?
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's not a good idea. Because here's what happened is the car died. The car died. And when the car died, the steering wheel locked up. It was just Robin and I in the car on our way in our swim trunks to be baptized. The car died, the steering wheel locked up, and guess what's coming at us?
A truck.
A semi-truck, of all things. A semi-truck is coming right at us, and his horn, and my steering wheel, I can't steer the car. It's dead. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I think that's all I was saying. Oh, Jesus, and I don't even know what I did. I just started fumbling and flickering and like, and it came back to life. The car did. And my steering wheel unlocked. And it was like that close. I mean, I'm serious, that close to us not making it there. Powerful stuff, being baptized. Some of you are going to be faced with it next week. Come up with excuses not to be. Yes.
No, I did the same thing when Shelly and I were supposed to be baptized. I remember calling you guys, and I'm like, I'm not going, this is dumb, da, da, da. And it took everything for us to finally get there. And I remember literally once we entered the backyard, everything went away. We both looked at each other, I'm sorry, yeah, me too. I don't know what we're talking about. Yeah, me neither. And we made it.
And it's...
It's
a real, because here's what I believe it to be. And this is, and I'll leave it at this, and we'll pray, and we'll ask the Lord to just really come and just anoint us and fill us with that confession that we make on earth is one that is heard and bound in heaven.
Amen.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome that God gives us this. I mean, I'm not going to say it, but it's just such a simple act to proclaim and confess and declare my surrender and commitment to my Lord Jesus of being baptized. It is heard in heaven, and that when it's heard in heaven, it's rejoiced in heaven, and it's sealed in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you for your love for us, your affection for us, your... I just thank you for who you are, God. And you give us the choice even today to walk out of this room and choose you. Choose life. And you give us the choice. And in that making of that choice, you empower us to be your disciples, to be what you've called us to be. Lord, we're just asking for you to do something like that. Amazing in us that as we look and as we go throughout our day, even today, that we will see your face. And that you will show up. And as we choose to say yes to you, oh, you will fill us. You will give us a joy that only you can give and a peace that can only come from you. But you'll give us a vision. You'll give us insights. You'll give us revelation of who you are to us, your love for us, and that who we are in you, your children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you are and who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.